Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
As we mark the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, I want you to remember that the house they were standing in, the house my family has the privilege of living in, that house was built in part by slaves.
You know, I haven't heard references to slavery, slaves, Underground Railroad in my modern life from a standing politician, except the most extreme. Right now, we have Michelle Obama at the Congressional Black Caucus, right out of the novel Animal Farm, right out of the Communist Manifesto, stirring up racial division, stirring up racial distrust, stirring up hatred between blacks and whites in a way I have never seen. And I have a question for you on the Savage Nation. Do you think it's appropriate for Michelle Obama to refer to slavery, the Underground Railroad, etc., while giving a speech as the First Lady of the United States of America? I don't. But I'm going to go a step further. I have to take my hat off to Michelle Obama. As despicable as her speech was, as despicable as Obama's actions are, I have to take my hat off to them. Because they keep going back to their left-wing fanatical base over and over and over again. Obama and Michelle Obama keep going back to the Congressional Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, the left-wing fanatics of all kind, and hammering them with these statements, the red meat statements, while on the other side, Romney keeps ignoring his base. Romney not only does not go back to his base, he doesn't even talk to his base. I have no words for this other than to say I'm shocked that Romney is so blind to what he is not doing. Obama and Michelle go back and keep talking about slavery. Listen, for example, to clip 7 this weekend at the Congressional Black Caucus.
Now, back when our great-grandparents were riding that Underground Railroad, back when John Lewis was marching across that bridge in Selma, and Jim Clyburn was sitting in an Orangeburg jail.
Yeah, you're all
the
suffering.
The injustices we faced were written in big
Yeah, your First Lady, stop it already. Keep going. Keep going. I'm just reacting.
The battles we needed to fight were very clear. We knew that to end slavery, we needed a proclamation from our president.
Wait, let's stop right here. We knew that to end slavery? You mean she grew up in a time when there was slavery? What does she mean, we knew that to end slavery? Why, of course, she means we black people. We black people against those evil white people. It gets even uglier. Listen to what she does next.
To end segregation, we needed the Supreme Court to overturn the lie of separate but equal. To reach the ballot box, we needed Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act.
Okay, now listen to where she goes in clip 8, because this, finally, if you're sitting in the middle, you're going to find out how dangerous these communists are in the White House. Listen to clip 8.
The path forward for this next generation is far less clear. I mean, what exactly do we do about children who are languishing in crumbling schools?
Oh, that's a lie.
What about the 40% of black children who are overweight or obese, or the nearly 1 in 2 who are on track to develop diabetes in their lifetimes?
Uh-huh.
What court case do we bring on their behalf?
What
laws can be passed to end those wrongs?
Do you hear how psychotic this woman is? What court case do we bring on behalf of children who are fat? What court case do we black people bring on behalf of black children who are going to develop diabetes? What laws do we pass to end those wrongs? This is insanity. I've never heard anything like this. But again, I take my hat off to Michelle Obama. She is at least true to her communist agenda. She has never veered from her path forward. Loaded words. She said the path forward right out of the Communist Manifesto. It's always been used by the Communist Party USA. CPUSA has always used the phrase forward. Now they're using it nakedly. And on the other side, we have a man who won't even talk to his base, Romney. On Friday, on this show, I did something daring. I copied Clint Eastwood's empty chair. And I had an empty chair in my studio, of which we asked loaded questions of Mitt Romney. And for his response, we had the sound of crickets, of a man puking, of a man sounding befuddled. Because that's all we're getting from Romney. It's frightening. Now, I want to tell you something. Everything is on the line. I certainly will vote for Romney, and I'll tell you why in a minute. In fact, I'll explain it to you in a series of emails. I receive emails from various PR agents. The following came this morning, and I will not read the person's name because she's insignificant. It caught my eye. The headline said she was trying to sell someone's book for my show. And the PR agent said, did Romney's charitable donations really go to charity? In other words, it was a Romney bashing, Mormon bashing email and book. So I sent her back a message which said, better a Mormon than a communist. About an hour later, she sends me back a stupid email with a smile button and says, maybe so, but we're in deep doo-doo either way. That's a PR agent. I send her an email a half an hour later which says, better a Mormon Christian than a Muslim communist. She sends me back an email saying, Mike, Mormons are not Christians. You need to speak off the record with my author so that you understand the truth about it. It will help you in your broadcast, and even if you're a Romney supporter, you will be armed with the facts. Blessings from this person. So I wrote back the following. A vote for Obama is a vote for Islamists. Romney understands this threat. A vote for Obama is a vote for higher taxes, more brainwashing, bigger government. I don't need to speak to anyone to understand the existential threat your man Obama poses for the very survival of our nation. Try reading one of my last six New York Times bestsellers, six in a row. So that apparently got under her skin. Listen to what she sends back. PR agent makes big mistakes. She says, my author is in agreement with you on Obama, but just because you have six New York Times bestsellers, this does not make you an expert on Romney. You totally ignored the information alone. So if you don't want to receive any information regarding the truth on Romney, she writes, as well, you are derelict in your duty to provide truthful information to America. Romney is brainwashed. And she goes on putting him down. And then she says, pride may go before your fall. This is a PR agent who is working for Obama, smearing Romney's Mormonism without one question ever raised about Obama's two Muslim fathers. But let's go back to this question. Again, Michelle Obama at the CBC, right out of Animal Farm, again talking about the Underground Railroad, talking about Emancipation Proclamation, over and over again using slavery as a reference, and then saying what court cases says, again about slavery, in clip 11. You have to hear it. I'm going to ask you this question, and I invite you to call a Savage Nation. Do you think, well, not do you think, how do you feel about Michelle Obama referring to slavery when she's the First Lady of the United States of America? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Play clip 11.
As we mark the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, I want you to remember that the house they were standing in, the house my family has the privilege of living in, that house was built in part by slaves.
Why does she keep referring to slavery when she's First Lady and she had an elite background? Never worked a day in her life. The skids were greased for her. She came from a very an extremely comfortable middle-class family. And she used affirmative action. She used this rubric about slavery 150 years ago as though she herself personally suffered from it, and as though every white person in America was personally related or was overtly a slaveholder. You know, this is sickening. It's disgusting. And I'm not the first person to say this. I'm the first person to dare say it in the contemporary media. But a very smart man by the name of George Washington Carver, a black inventor in about 1911, he had Obama's number. He had Michelle's number. Boy, did he have their number. Boy, did he see them coming from 100 years away. I don't have the exact quote, but I'll get it for you when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The path forward for this next generation is far less clear. I mean, what exactly do we do about children who are languishing in crumbling schools? What about the 40% of black children who are overweight or obese, or the nearly 1 in 2 who are on track to develop diabetes in their lifetimes? What court case do we bring on their behalf?
What
laws can be passed to end those wrongs?
Well, you could sue diabetes. You could sue adipose tissue. This is the mind of a person who got where she is by threatening lawsuits and using the law to get ahead, not based upon her brilliance, certainly not based upon her decency, in my estimation, but based upon manipulating the law to get ahead. What court case do we bring on behalf of children who are overweight? What court case, she asked, do we bring on behalf of those who are going to develop diabetes? And this myth of crumbling schools, I've studied this in great detail as a former educator. This is the greatest myth there is. Here in Sausalito, California, right over the bridge from San Francisco, there is a largely African-American community in Marin City, California. And there was the same rhetoric 20 years ago, crumbling schools, not enough money for black children, disparity in the amount of money spent. So the people spent more and more money on that school, which is predominantly African-American, more money than in any surrounding school, which was mixed, mainly white. I think at the time I looked, it was $12,000, $13,000 a year in this public school for every black student, and the grades were still garbage. It had nothing to do with crumbling schools. It had nothing to do with the amount of money poured into the school. It had to do with other factors, as Michelle must know, since she came from a loving, supportive home. A home where the parents were home, encouraging her to do her homework. It had an awful lot to do with the parents and the church. Very little to do with so-called crumbling schools and the amount of money in the school. I'm livid on this. There were far decent, more decent people than Michelle and Barack Obama. Booker T. Washington wrote 100 years ago, he knew they were coming. He said there is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well. Maybe she can sue Booker T. Washington. Maybe she can sue the Booker T. Washington Foundation and have that statement expunged from his quotes because it is too embarrassing. But there's another great black scientist of the past, George Washington Carver, someone I grew up reading, not like, you know, more than anyone else, but we were, as in school in New York, George Washington Carver, Booker T. Washington, we got the flavor, and he was a scientist. And he wrote things that were very beautiful, but none of it was about hatred. Here's what he wrote. He said, George Washington Carver said, when our thoughts, which bring actions, are filled with hate against anyone, Negro or white, we are in a living hell. That is as real as hell will ever be. Somebody ought to tell Michelle Obama that she's trying to drag America into hell, a hell that we came through in the Civil War, a hell that we came through in the civil rights years, a hell that most Americans thought we had put behind ourselves until these two radical leftists seized power, or shall I say were put in power by the Communist Party USA, along with the Internationalist Party of the United States of the world. You don't understand what's going on in front of your eyes because Romney is not only the deer caught in the headlights, he's silent. He's mute. It's frightening. I shouldn't have to be the one saying these things. But when Michelle Obama digs into the Underground Railroad rhetoric and slavery again, somebody has to stand up and say, knock it off, Michelle. You're an educated woman. Who do you think you're talking to? It's right out of Animal Farm, right out of the Communist Manifesto. But let me repeat my first statement, if you missed it. My hat's off to Michelle Obama and to Barack Obama, her husband. Because whatever you say about them, they keep going back to their base, the Congressional Black Caucus, the left-wing fanatics, the union machine, over and over and over again. Over and over again, while Romney does not even talk to the base that he needs to get elected. It's frightening to understand this so clearly. Very frightening to see it as clear as it is. If you care to comment on any of this, particularly Michelle Obama's despicable references to slavery and the Underground Railroad when she is the first lady. I mean, after all, she's not an oppressed woman somewhere, isn't she? She's the most powerful woman in the world. The most powerful woman in the world saying, we knew that to end slavery, we needed a proclamation from our president, an amendment to our Constitution. What do you mean, we knew? What do you mean, she was there? She didn't say our ancestors. She said we. And who is she referring to when she says we? All Americans or black people only? An amendment to the Constitution? She's hinting at something. She's hinting that her husband needs to modify the U.S. Constitution to do something to we white. I'm embarrassed to tell you that I have to play these things on the show. I wish it could have been an easier show. It's never easy with Michelle and Barack Obama. They keep going down and dirty, and they're getting more dirty by the day, while Romney continues to be immune, above it all. Don't understand it. I don't understand who's advising him. He has six children. He has a wife. He has daughters-in-law. He has advisors. You must figure one of them listens to the Savage Nation once in a while. Somebody must be going and saying, Dad, you got to understand your base is agitated that you're ignoring them while Obama keeps going to his radical leftist base. The Congressional Black Caucus, unto itself, it makes my flesh crawl in the United States. Where's the Congressional White Caucus? Where is the Congressional American Caucus? What do you mean Black Caucus? In the year 2012, there aren't enough poor white people that I have to hear about Congressional Black Caucuses?
Savage.
So, you know, we're getting slapped every day by Michelle Obama or Barack Obama with their statements. On the other side of the aisle, we have people you never hear from. I wish you could hear them. For example, Louis Gohmert, Representative Louis Gohmert, Republican Texas, one of the best, says Obama made a new Ottoman Empire. Listen to clip 14 if you want to hear sanity.
Thank you, President Barack Hussein Obama. This will be quite a legacy for you. And I'm not one of those who says he's not a Christian. All I know is that's between him and God. But what I do know is he has helped jumpstart a new Ottoman Empire and left our friend and ally Israel so vulnerable in this sea of radicalism that he has helped bring to the surface.
Go on, 15.
Keep you going. Look across Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt, and Iraq, and Iran, and Syria, Lebanon. You look at these countries and come on over to Afghanistan that this president is losing as we speak, and Pakistan, which has been harming us all they could while still taking our money. You look and you go, oh my gosh, this is the makings. This is the beginnings, a massive beginning of a new Ottoman Empire that President Obama can take great credit for. The approval rating of the United States.
What an incredible speech by Louis Gohmert. The man has it exactly right. Exactly right. So here we are. In New York, Hitler appears. His new name is Ahmadinejad. And again, he said Israel will be eliminated. Iran's Hitler, Ahmadinejad, on Monday, disregarded a UN warning to avoid incendiary rhetoric and declared ahead of the annual General Assembly session that Israel has no roots in the Middle East and would be eliminated. Would be eliminated. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Wait, it gets better, all you left-wing fools. Listen carefully. And then he talked about this video and things of that nature. And he said, freedoms must not interfere with the freedoms of others, said Hitler. If someone insults, what would you do? Is insulting other people not a form of a crime? So he wants to criminalize speech. Now you understand why Michael Savage was banned in Britain. Now you understand why I am the only member of the American media not permitted to enter the United Kingdom. Because several years ago, I said certain things that were taken out in England, went to the Labour Party in England. Call it the Communist Party, if you really want to call it right. And they said, put Michael Savage on a list with murderers and terrorists. We'll show them what we think of free speech in England. And I'm still banned in England. I want to set the record straight. I cannot set foot in the United Kingdom. Cameron, we were told the year before he came to power, oh, don't worry, when we come to power, we'll get his name off. He doesn't belong on it. It's an affront to all free people. No, they wouldn't take my name off that list. Well, it's their loss, not mine. But the point is, we are losing our freedoms as I speak. If we're going to let these throwbacks, if we're going to let these people drag us into the dark ages and take us back to a period in human history, a human civilization, before the Enlightenment, who is going to win by that? Tell me who's going to win by that. You're going to win by that, you liberals who take a crucifix and put it in the jar of urine and you think you're so clever? You're not clever. You're an embarrassment to the human race. But you notice the Christians didn't burn the museum down. No, they didn't burn the museum down. They didn't even hit you with a baseball bat. They ignored you. They thought you were vile. Take a look in San Francisco, what we had over the weekend. People cavorting with whips, beating each other up in the street with a certain parade. I don't know what they call it. Nancy Pelosi said last year she's proud of that parade. She's proud of a parade where people dress up in animal costumes and they whip each other in the streets in front of children for all the world to see. They put on the masks of horses and dogs, and they put on chains and whips, and they walk them on their hands and knees in the streets, the Folsom Street Fair. When asked about it 2 years ago or last year, Nancy Pelosi said, I'm proud of the Folsom Street Leather Parade. That's Nancy Pelosi's values. So we, the other people, the regular people, are trapped between race baiters like Michelle Obama, haters like those on the left, and a silent Romney in the middle. And we don't know which way to turn. We had an election in 2010, and something like 70 people were thrown out of office. They were all Democrats. We had an election. Never mind the polls. The only poll that matters is the vote. That's the only poll that matters. The rest are garbage. And in the 2010 elections, by and large, about 90, 95% of Democrats were thrown out of office. Remember that. Don't ever forget that. The problem here is that we have a standard bearer for the conservative side that is not a conservative. We have a standard bearer for the conservative side that doesn't exist. We don't know what Romney stands for. Unfortunately, he seems to stand still and let Michelle and Barry Obama beat him up and slap him left and right. And that's what we don't like about him, in plain English. Now, how many of the people listening to this show in the base are going to vote for him anyway? I don't know. I hope all of you do. We have to take a chance on Romney. That's all I can say. We have to pray that he dumps his liberal tendencies, that he dumps his liberal advisors, that he doesn't use Clinton-era apparatchiks in his cabinet if he gets elected. I've seen the names. Your hair's going to stand up. I've seen the names of people being picked by Romney in advance to run this government. And I said, oh, I can't believe this. I can't believe he's picking a man like Robert Zoellick of the World Bank for a major position. Zoellick worked for Clinton. And I said, he's just another one of them, handpicked by the various and sundry internationalist organizations. So I don't know what he's going to do if he wins. Will Romney win? It's anyone's guess. The only way he can win is if the base comes out and votes for him. But if he continues to sit in the middle and not ever go and talk to them, they're liable to not vote for him, and then Obama wins. And if you want to know what Obama plans for the second regime, it could be the last regime for all we know, all you have to do is listen to Michelle Obama's words when she talks about a constitutional amendment to straighten things out. She said that we knew that to end slavery, we needed a proclamation from our president, an amendment to our Constitution, proclamation, an amendment. And then she said we needed a Supreme Court. So she's lining us up for a total and absolute seizure of power. And as I wrote in my novel, Abuse of Power, quoting, of course, the great Lord Acton, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the Obamas, in my opinion, are in the latter category. Let's go to the callers. I've said enough on this Blue Monday. WOR in New York. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Doc, you just touched on it. I don't know for sure, obviously, but perhaps Romney's just doing what the Christians did when they put the crucifix in the urn. He's keeping quiet, and he's showing his class and letting them show they have no class. And then maybe he'll...
Wait, I don't understand. You mean he's acting like he's too good to even argue with, with Michelle Obama?
Maybe it's a strategy. Let's keep close to the vest. Let them show how arrogant they are. And the real class in the country will rise up and see. And it could be his LDS background, the Mormon thing. But, you know, who knows?
Okay, let me react to that. That attitude is an elitist attitude where you don't have to get down and dirty with people who are throwing mud at you. And it's never worked in history. All it does is muddy you. It has never worked in history. He has been beaten continuously by Obama and Michelle Obama and the left-wing hate machine, and he stands there and takes it. And I don't think it makes him look better, frankly.
It worked for Gandhi.
Yeah, but he's not Gandhi. He's running to be the president of the United States of America. He's not wearing a diaper.
Worked for Dr. King.
He's not walking across. Well, look where it got them. What do you mean it worked for them? How well did it work for them? They're both.
No, you know what I mean. It worked.
I mean, no, I don't know what you mean. No. Well, you want to talk about those people? Let's talk about them. Let's talk about Mahatma Gandhi, the most misunderstood man in America, in history, rather. Do you know how many people died because of his idealism?
No.
Well, I'll educate you if you'd like it. Mahatma Gandhi wanted to get rid of colonialism in India, okay? And he wanted the strife between Hindus and Muslims to end. Very noble. But you heard the phrase, the path to you-know-where is paved with good intentions, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, he relocated the Muslims from India into a country that didn't exist, which they carved out of India, and they called it Pakistan. Do you know that that's how Pakistan got created in 1947?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the Muslims were supposed to move to Pakistan so the Hindus could live in peace. And guess what happened? Over 1 million people died in sectarian violence in the movement of Muslims to Pakistan. And here's the punchline. Not all the Muslims went to Pakistan, and there's still strife in India. So actually, if you look at Gandhi's legacy, it's quite mixed. He's not the saint that people have made him out to be. I don't know what to say. I know about the class idea, let them throw mud at me and I'll stand above it all and people will see me for who I am and I'm a better person than he is. I don't know. I don't know if that works in this country anymore. A country that likes the Wrestling Federation. A nation that seems to care more about football and baseball than they do about politics. I think they like a fighter. I think fundamentally America likes a fighter. Okay? But let's get back to the main story. And we're losing it. We're losing it. And that is Michelle Obama's vile references to the Underground Railroad, vile references to slavery, vile and repeated references to slavery in the year 2012 when she is the most powerful woman in the world. How does she not see what this looks like to educated people? Listen to clip 11.
All right,
let's go.
The 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, I want you to remember that the house they were standing in, the house my family has the privilege of living in, that house was built in part by slaves.
Now, what relevance does that have to the year 2012? What relevance does that have? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Dan in West Palm Beach, how do you feel about Michelle Obama referring to slavery in the Underground Railroad?
Dr. Savage, being a Marine Corps veteran, retired New York City police officer, I am completely embarrassed. I thought I was embarrassed when the Fugazi got picked up and launched in the air by a pizza maker. I'm more embarrassed by his wife and her atrocious comments and remarks in the form that she was in.
And didn't you feel, having lived through the 60s, I assume you're over 50, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Didn't you feel that we've gone through enough hatred and division in this country and it was behind us? You know, Bill Clinton, despite his flaws, did not divide the people against each other in this way, did he?
No, and I think it would have been more appropriate for the First Lady to come out and make reference to great black Americans, for example, Colin Powell, Alan West, Condoleezza Rice, and the list goes on. But no, she has to go back to the Stone Age, which is in our past. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, she. So what do you think? What do you think this very intelligent woman is trying to do by talking about slavery and the Underground Railroad? What is she trying to achieve?
She's trying to achieve discontent between blacks and everybody else.
Okay, so what is her end game? Would she like to see riots before the election? Would she like
Absolutely.
To see some kind of Rodney King-like riots in the inner city? Is that what she's trying to steam up?
Absolutely, Dr. Savage, because then she can come out and say, I told you so, we haven't moved on from anywhere. We're still back.
Oh, my God, it's awful. It's just awful. I shouldn't have to be the one to say I'm appalled at Michelle Obama's race baiting. Dan, thank you very much. Very soon I'm going to be sending out copies of my new book of stories. You know, after the election for about a week, we'll talk only about the election. Then what are you going to do? There's still going to be talk radio, but believe me, you're not going to want to hear about Dems and Republicans. And I've known that for a long time. So I timed a book of my favorite stories for you called Train Tracks, which will be out that exact week. I know it's a little risky to put out a book of stories that's not political, but we're putting it out. Harper Collins is putting out Train Tracks. And I invite you to see a free chapter. The end of the day, you can go to michaelsavage.com and you could see what you're going to have in that book. It's written strictly for the holidays. I promise you, there's no Dem Republican. There's no politics in it all. I'll be right back.
Savage.
When our great grandparents were riding that Underground Railroad, back when
that
John
Underground
Lewis
Railroad
was marching across that bridge in Selma,
and that Jim Underground
Clyburn
Selma
was sitting in an Orangeburg jail,
Orangeburg,
the injustices we face injustices. Were written in big bold letters on the face of our laws. And while we may have had our differences over strategy, the battles we needed to fight
battles.
Were very clear.
Fight.
We knew that to end slavery, we
slavery.
Needed a proclamation from our president. An amendment to our Constitution.
Amendment. President.
To end segregation. We
segregation.
Needed the Supreme Court to
Supreme
overturn
Court.
The lie of separate but equal. To reach the ballot box, we needed Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act.
Well, right. Well, they passed it. So what are you bellyaching about? That we, the people, don't want illegal aliens to vote? Or we don't want people to vote four times? What's the purpose of having a vote if your vote is diluted by those who vote repeatedly? What's the purpose of having a vote if illegal aliens are voting, Michelle? You should be supporting the Voting Rights Act instead of diluting it. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy. You talk about the big lie. You know, if you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. Goebbels said that. That was Hitler's propaganda minister. If you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. So here she goes to the Congressional Black Caucus. As the most powerful woman in the world, God bless her. And again, she refers to Underground Railroad, slavery, Orangeburg, court cases, fight. It's unbelievable to me to keep referring to slavery. I've not heard a contemporary politician in my life use phrases like this in my entire life. In my life, since I've been a kid, conscious of politics. I've not heard a major league politician refer to slavery. This to me is racism. This to me is the worst thing I've ever heard a first lady do. And yet she gets away with it. I lost my breath listening to this. And where's Romney? Where's Romney? No one knows. Invisible. He went on 60 Minutes. I didn't watch it. I wasn't interested in him or Obama. I don't watch 60 Minutes to begin with. I stopped watching 60 Minutes 60 years ago. And they had the nerve to ask Romney about what he prays about. Okay? Well, they didn't ask Obama what he prays about. Again, they were setting up Romney for a fall. Listen to clip 23, for example.
I pray. Prayer is a time to connect with the divine, but also a time, I'm sure, to concentrate one's thoughts, to meditate, and to imagine what might be.
You pray every night before you go to bed?
I do pray every night, yeah.
What do you ask for?
That's between me and God.
Well, that's a good answer. Good for you, Mitt. Don't let that vile leftist drag you into it. Why don't they ask Mr. Obama if he prays every night? What does he do every night, Obama, before going to bed? We don't know, but we know that Mitt Romney prays. It's unbelievable to me how they keep setting up Romney. And, well, in that case, he handled himself very well, by the way. He did handle himself very well, but you didn't hear that either. But what you didn't understand is they set him up again. The reason they asked him about the prayer is they're trying to, again, bring out the big M word. They bring out the big M word for Romney, but not the big M word for Obama. See, not all M's are equal. Some M's are more equal than others. That's pretty good. That's a $10 million statement. That's something that the Tin Man can never come up with. That's something that Wallbanger couldn't even understand. But, yeah, not all M's are equal. Some M's are more equal than others in the American media. So here we are, race card being used by Michelle Obama. And the American people care more about... I went to Safeway today to buy something. I don't know what I bought, something for lunch. So, you know, I hate going through supermarket checkouts because they ask personal questions. I hate it. I don't want to be talked to. It makes me squirm. They ask me if I'm having a nice day. I don't know what to say. I turn away. I grumble. Yes, I say. Like, can you just ring it up and get me out of here? I said, how's your day? I decided to be a normal American. The guy says to me, oh, I'm having a great day. The Raiders won. I felt like saying, God, if that's all it takes to make you have a great day, son, I pity you. But I didn't say it because I was afraid he'd liable to engage him in more conversation. Then it gets worse in Safeway, which I love to shop in. They ask me if I want to make a donation every time I charge something. I said, no, I don't want to make a donation. Stop asking me. I didn't come here like they turn you into like a beggar, I said to the checkout clerk. They made you like into a homeless person with a hat out begging for money. He said, I agree with you. I can't say anything. I wish Safeway would stop demanding donations from people on their credit card for various and sundry charities, okay? Stop it already.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Prayer is a time to connect with the divine, but also a time, I'm sure, to concentrate one's thoughts, to meditate, and to imagine what might be.
You pray every night before you go to bed?
I do pray every night, yeah.
What do you ask for?
That's between me and God.
Now, back when our great-grandparents were riding that Underground Railroad, back when John Lewis was marching across that bridge in Selma, and again, Jim Clyburn was sitting in an Orangeburg jail,
Orangeburg.
The injustices we faced were written in big, bold letters on the face of our laws.
Faced.
And while we may have had our differences over strategy, the battles strategy. We needed to fight were battles. Very clear. Mm-hmm. We knew that to end slavery, we needed a proclamation from our president, an amendment to our Constitution.
Amendment.
To end segregation, we needed the Supreme Court to overturn the lie of separate
lie.
But equal. To reach the ballot box, we needed Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act.
Right, and that's why you are the First Lady of the United States of America. And now what are you trying to do by stirring up racial enmity, Mrs. Obama? You see, many of us went to college and we read Animal Farm. I read it in high school. And we remember Boxer the Horse, what happens after the communist revolution on the farm, how the communists, the pigs in that case, who took over the farm, kept referring to the very, very dignified horse, Boxer, all through their speeches in order to rile up the other farm animals. We've read the Communist Manifesto. Some of us have even read all of Karl Marx, Jung, Adler, Freud. Some of us have master's degrees, PhDs. Some of us have law degrees. And we can smell racial division. We can see it. We can feel it. And we are embarrassed that you are doing this, Michelle Obama. You're an educated woman. This is something we would expect from a, I don't know, a rabble-rouser, some out-of-the-way boondock congressperson who's known to cavort with the Black Panthers. But coming from the First Lady at a time like this, all of America should understand we have a very clear choice in this election. One that will pull us down and take us backwards, and one that might lift us up and take us forwards. And that's all I want to say on this. This is unbelievable to me. And I don't want to go on and on about this. I think Michelle Obama's comments were off the wall, insulting, racially divisive, and she owes America an apology. But you know you're never going to get it, because you didn't even hear these until you listened to the show today. I want to divert for a minute. I want to go to my website with you because it just got posted. Today is the kickoff for the football game. The football game of my next book, Train Tracks. Because after the election, I'm telling you what's coming. It's on sale November 6th, and right after the election, the first week after the election, you're not going to want to hear the word Obama or Romney. You're not going to want to hear Republican or Democrat for a long time, if ever again. And people in radio are going to be lost as to what to talk about, except I will not be. And so I planned this carefully, and it's called Train Tracks, American Stories for the Holidays. It's right up now on, you can get a free reading sample on michaelsavage.com. So if you're near a computer, go to it. There's a picture of me up in the High Sierras. The cover is of a train tracks, right? What's interesting, though, is if you look at an inset picture of me on the train, on a railroad track, it's in, anyone who can tell me where that is, I'm going to get you a free copy. How's that? I'm not telling you where it is. Somebody in California is going to know where that track is going and where it came from. There must be a railroad buff who can read it from a mile away. This book is about tradition. It's about families. It's about being together through thick and through thin. Featuring dozens of never-before-told true tales drawn from Michael Savage's journey from poor immigrant son to media star. Train Tracks is an instant classic by America's favorite storyteller, taking you back to a safer America in time for the holidays. I wrote that copy. The publisher was saying, how do you want to position the book? Taking you back to a safer America in time for the holidays. The last time I heard black people talking about slavery like this or the Underground Railroad was when the Black Panthers were screaming on top of soapboxes. What's the difference? On the right of my website, got a headline story, the vacuum of American power in the world is at an all-time high. And underneath it, for those of you who have the stomach for it, are people dressed up in doggy masks being beaten in the streets of San Francisco at a bondage event that Nancy Pelosi is proud of. She said that the Folsom Street Fair is, she's proud of it. It's her values. We have a very clear choice. Because I can tell you right now, if Romney becomes president, there's a high likelihood that these vermin will be stopped from cavorting naked and beating each other with whips in the streets of any city in America. Maybe, just maybe, we can get America back where it's safe to bring children out in the street again. Savage, the vacuum of American power in the world is an all-time high. And I'll read you a paragraph. He was talking about watching the space shuttle fly over San Francisco on its final voyage last Friday. Savage mourned the destruction of NASA on Barack Obama's watch and explained that it was just one more signal to the world that America is growing weaker by the day. Here's what Savage said. Today, a piece of history flew by the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was lucky enough to see it, Savage told listeners. Going on, I stood there with my son and we watched the last flight of the shuttle Endeavour atop a NASA 747. What struck me is that Obama destroyed NASA with the stroke of a pen without any debate in Congress. This lone communist from Chicago destroyed the most advanced exploratory institute in the United States of America. Americans don't even understand what this man has done to this country. At the same time that he destroyed NASA, he sent his front man, Leon Panetta, to China, who begged the People's Liberation Army not to worry that the Obama Doctrine is hands off China. When I was a kid in high school, I had to learn what the Monroe Doctrine was. I didn't like history very much, but I remember I had to memorize the Monroe Doctrine. It was named for the president who said to Europe, hands off the Western Hemisphere. It's ours. We're strong. We're powerful. We're America. We will repel you. Now here's an Obama Doctrine. hands off the communist world, hands off the Islamist world, or live and let die. The vacuum of U.S. power in the world today is at an all-time high. Not since we were a small colony have we been this weak. Whether you know it or not, the attacks on 9/11 in Libya and Egypt were carefully planned by the Islamists, who were helped into power by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and George Soros' money. It's astounding how Obama gets away with this and how it falls upon a few voices in the wilderness like mine to remind America what has happened to this country under this con man. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of that monologue. You can get a free newsletter, by the way, every day, and keep up with me where I am, what I'm doing. There's an awful lot to talk about. Hitler's in New York. Oh, yeah, Hitler's in New York. If only Romney was saying the things I'm saying, wouldn't it be a better world? Let me ask you this question. If Romney used some of the phrases I use on this show on a regular basis, do you think it would help him or hurt him? What do you think about that? Would they call him a bad guy if he said some of these things? Or might he finally excite the American people? I'll be right back.
Savage.
I never thought I would be living in a time like this. I could understand left and right and conservative, I mean, Democrat, Republican. I know how the machine works, you know. I grew up in it. I understand it's one party or the other. But, you know, at the end of the day, they always had the interests of America at heart, so I thought. And then along came the slime machine that they were all being dragged down into the gutter with or by. The slime machine pulling us into the street. It's frightening to believe that we're living through this and that they're getting away with it. Do you know that if a low-grade politician used the race baiting that Michelle Obama is using, they would have been roundly condemned 10 years ago by Democrats? Democrats would have said, you know what, that's uncalled for, that's in our past, stop trying to divide people, that's absurd, don't do that anymore. But, hey, I read Animal Farm, I read it in high school, I read the Communist Manifesto, I know Karl Marx from Groucho, you know, I know John from Vladimir, and I'm telling you, we have, as I pointed out, in Trickle Down Tyranny and Trickle Up Poverty, a man and a first lady who are on a forward path, they're dragging us over the abyss, backwards, over 100 years to the Bolshevik Revolution. They will not be satisfied until there is a total and absolute revolution in this country. Now, you got to understand, they're very clever. They're different than what you grew up thinking the revolutionaries would be or how they would work. Look how far they've gotten. They didn't fire a shot to get where they are. They're known as a different breed. They're known as a different breed. And I pointed it out in Trickle Down Tyranny. There's a way they're doing it now. They're not marching with flags and, you know, there's no armed rebellion, that type of thing. Those days are over. When you own ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, half of Fox, and your ideas are put forward as the big lie was, you don't need to fire a shot. When you have a machine as powerful, as smooth, and as brilliant as that under those who are running it for Obama, you don't need to fire a shot. You just fire drones. You don't need to fire a shot. You just fire drones. That's all. Soon, maybe the drones will be fired in America at unknown targets. Who knows what might be tomorrow? It is legal, by the way, under the NDAA. The president can order you dragged off the street in the middle of the night by the U.S. military. You don't know that because you don't want to know it. Go Raiders. Go Yankees. Go Raiders. On New Year's Eve, he passed the NDAA. I try to warn America. I'm not tired right now. I know my voice sounds a little odd. I can hear it myself. I don't know what it is. Not weary, not tired, not depressed, not angry, nothing, none of that. Just me, that's all. Just me, just another day, another grinding day under these two radicals getting away with it right in front of our eyes without a word or a peep coming out of the other side. That's, I guess, they should be saying it. Romney should get up and say, you know, that's off the wall. You shouldn't be talking about that now. There is no Underground Railroad. We don't need to hear about the Civil War again. What are you trying to do, provoke a Syria here in America? What is he doing? What is he doing? Ann in New York on WOR Radio. I've talked enough. You talk. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Such a dangerous political animal Obama is that even if he was to lose, I still fear that in the time frame between November and January, he will sign such a series of executive orders that will be impossible to rescind or to get out from
yes,
under.
Yes, but he's working on it right now. I hint you're right. He's working on them right now. I don't want to go into the details, but I know what he's doing inside the Justice Department to make it so that they can't fire the leftists, even if Romney wins. He's hiring. He actually – want to hear what they did? They put out an order, an employment order or a request for people to apply for jobs who are mentally incompetent. Remember that a few weeks ago? People with mental disabilities, people who are actually insane to work in the Civil Rights Division. And the reason is they can't be fired. They become fireproof. And so they would be stuck in the Justice Department, Civil Rights Division, long after this machine is gone. Do you understand what they're doing? You must have heard that show. Thanks for the call. I think starting today, we're going to start giving away copies of Train Tracks. Because after the election is over, and hopefully Romney wins, and Obama goes on to something better in life, maybe they move to Lanai, where are they allegedly moving to with Pritzker's help? Leahy, Lohu, Wauwabu, on the windward side of Hawaii. I forget already. Allegedly are buying him a $30 million house, $60 million house. Who knows what? Who knows these rumors? We're going to talk about other things. It'll be time to think about positive things in America long before the Obamas foisted themselves or were foisted upon us by the powers that have always wanted to drag this country into the third world. And we'll still have our traditions, we'll still have our families, we'll still have our religion, and God knows we might even still have our nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Train Tracks is the book on sale November 6th. It's finally up on my website. I've been trying to get it up for weeks because I really want to go to something. I want to tell stories. I'm not ready yet. I can't, but you can get free reading samples of the book and order it right now on michaelsavage.com. It links to Amazon. I want you to. I want you to send the message to the book business that we're still alive and we vote and we read. I know the liberals don't think you read, but you do read. Flushing, New York. Andrea, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. I was just talking to my husband, who's a railroad buff, and he's thinking that it's either Feather River Canyon or Donner Pass. That's where the picture was taken.
Oh, are you close, but no cigar. Oh, are you close, but no cigar. The lady who called from Flushing, New York is getting a free copy. The first one, by the way, of Train Tracks. Andrea's gone. Okay. If she comes back, guys, start collecting the names and email addresses, and we'll start giving out free books today. Because once the election's over, everyone's going to want it. They're going to want to read these stories to themselves and to children. Maybe there'll be some peace on earth after Romney wins. And we're through with this radical leftist regime. Let's pray. Who knows? No. So there's a picture of me on the ad standing with a cowboy hat next to Train Tracks. And it looks like there's snow in the background. Like, you know, the snow is still there, like not dusting, but it's you could see the snow in the track. And I asked anyone who knew where that was to call in because it's a very special place for me. I've been going there for since I moved to California. I never forget when I moved here in 74. I had a weird day today. Only a minute left to tell you. Oh, my God, what a day. I guess that's what it is. I'm weary. I drove into San Francisco, all the way in, went all the way to my radio studio, got settled in, got ready to work, and all of a sudden, an hour later, bang, bang, over my head, they were putting carpets in over my head. I said, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? So I called management. I said, don't you alert neighbors when you're putting carpet in? He said, no, we don't. I said, you're running this place like a slum. Meanwhile, the noise was so overwhelming. I had to gather all my stuff together. By the way, I walked through town, made notes for my next novel. I called my greasy Chinese spoon, ordered my lunch, sped over there, ate the greasy Chinese lunch. It tasted so good. It was so good. It was unbelievable. And she was so sweet to me. She says, maybe you'll feel better after you eat. She said, sit and eat before you take it all home. And raced all the way back across the bridge. And I'm now back at my other studio. I'm exhausted from it.
Seven.
All right, so here we go again. Here's another topic for you. Ready for this now? Fort Hood massacre. Killed 13, shot 33 others, not brought to trial. That bum today, that Muslim major bum, Nidal Hassan, has now gone in the hospital on some, he's sick again. They can't have a trial. Now, you know who's pulling the strings on that, don't you? You know why Nidal Hassan hasn't been brought to trial. It's because Obama does not want you to remember that a Muslim shot 13, shall I say, fellow soldiers, including a pregnant soldier, killed him, shot 33 others. They were all unarmed. He has not yet been brought to trial years later. The same day they allow this bum, Nidal Hassan, to pull a fake of going to the hospital on a fake illness, in my estimation, we read that Leon Panetta is bringing charges against Marines who allegedly urinated on the corpses of Taliban fighters they had just killed in a firefight. You heard me. They're going to bring charges against the Marines again. Now, you know I've gone to bat for the Marines in the past. I've raised money for them, and I'm going to have to do it again, and I will do it again with your help. But I want to read you something that I wrote that was published in USA Today. To their credit, I never thought they'd publish it. January of 2012. That was last January already. Michael Savage says, don't punish brave Marines. And here's what I wrote. Tell me if you agree with me. Most of the, quote, men in the news media, the same journalists orchestrating the attack on Marines who allegedly urinated on Taliban terrorists they killed in battle, have never even been in a fist fight, let alone a firefight. And yet here they are piling on the real men who have the guts to go into combat against 15th century radical Islamist throwbacks. The piling on our Marines has done far more damage to the morale of our fighting men than our soldiers' actions. And yet we hear Marine Corps Commandant General James Amos calling the act inconsistent with our high standards of conduct, then whining about our commitment to upholding the Geneva Conventions, the laws of war, and our own core values. This in the face of Taliban atrocities, car bombings, beheadings, the murder of women and children that flout the Geneva Conventions and yet are routinely ignored by the media and our military higher-ups who also downplayed the Fort Hood massacre by Major Nidal Hassan. Our fighting men must be supported at all costs at a time like this. How can we in good faith ask them to put their lives on the line against the vilest, most extreme of enemies while at the same time we attack them in the press at every turn? I'm not saying that what these Marines did isn't a violation of military code, but unlike murderers who are granted appeal after appeal, these Marines have already been tried and found guilty in the media. The desecration of war dead is universally condemned, but it is as old as war itself. Our boys are not devils. The Taliban fighters are the devils. Our Marines are heroes. They should be rewarded for having the guts to go into combat, not punished for stepping over the line. It's the latest attempt by the liberal news media and the increasingly timid military brass to destroy the few, the proud, the brave, the Marines. Remember, to err is human, to forgive divine. Was I wrong? You know I wasn't. I'm always right. Rarely am I wrong. So there we go again. News article just came out. Marines are going to be attacked now by Panetta and Obama. Two Marines are facing criminal charges for allegedly urinating on Taliban fighters. Now remember, they urinated on these corpses after their lives were almost lost in a fight. And who is it who wants them brought to trial? None other than the warlord, our dear friend Hamid Karzai, the most corrupt warlord in the world. Karzai, a good friend of America. But let's get back to these speeches and such here in America. Or if you want to talk about other topics, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. I have so many great stories on my website. It's unbelievable. Train tracks I'm crazy about. It's the kickoff day for my book. Click here for a free reading sample. It doesn't come down. Whatever. But you'll get it by tonight. I'm sure Art's working on it. The story's on the bottom. Wait, I want to go to the bottom. Help support family of fallen CHP officer. World War II submarine veterans forced to disband group. Too many of them are dead. World War II sub veterans. But don't worry. Soon these subs will be made safe for women. They're taking out a few torpedo tubes to make sure that the women have accommodations on our submarines. Too fat for murder. There's a picture of a 1,000-pound woman in England. I put it up there because I was a child who loved Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. I loved the freak show. I used to go there in wonderment at the freak show. And I can't believe there are people who are 1,000 pounds. But there's a picture of a woman who's 1,000 pounds. Call me what you want. but I'm fascinated by her. Michael on his high school rifle team, an anachronism, Queens, New York, in the 50s. I'm third from the right with a little check. It says, it says me. I still was a bad dresser even then. I still didn't wear good clothing. I don't know what it is with me in clothes. I have such a bad sense of clothing. I don't know what it is. A lot of guys know how to dress. I was never natty, never sharp, never wore a nice outfit. I look good, but I just still never dressed well even then. But there I am holding a Mossberg 22. No one shot themselves. Nobody put a rifle to their mouth in the basement and said, I can't take it anymore. I can't take geometry. Nobody ran amok in the halls and shot anybody. And there were rifles, loaded rifles, in that high school. How come? Let me give you three answers. No drugs. The Bible was everywhere. The family was powerful. And children respected authority. In addition to that, there were men, returning Korean War veterans, who were our coaches. They would have beat the you-know-what out of us if we even looked at them the wrong way. And that's when America was a better place. How does that sound? Sacramento, I think we have a winner. Frank in Sacramento on KST. Frank, what are you calling about?
I'm calling to see if I can identify the picture associated with your book.
Okay, you're looking on michaelsavage.com. You see a picture of me in a cowboy hat with my arms crossed next to tracks.
Yes.
In front of my train tracks. Where is that picture, please?
I'm going to guess it is Truckee, California.
Oh, you're so close. But you, nope. But I'm sending you a copy of the book anyway. You're the second winner today. You get a consolation prize, train tracks. Today's the kickoff day. See, I want to see if I can run it from number 52,000 into the top, I don't know, 500 in one day. I did it with my novel with no help from anybody. Now, nobody in the media would help me. Nobody, not one ad. I took Abuse of Power from number 47,000 to number 5 in one day. Would you believe it? On Amazon? So if you're a fan of Michael Savage, go ahead and buy the book now on Amazon. The beauty here is that it's cheaper than a normal hardcover. I think they put out a different thing or whatever. I don't know. It's much less expensive for the holidays. And that's it. You may be a member of the 47%, but you're still an American and you can still read. I know that. I was on my boat over the weekend and a guy I boat with, nice man, a war veteran. I don't know his politics. I assume he's a conservative. You know, we never ever talked about it. We only talk about boating. You know, I can cut it off pretty good. He only said one thing to me in all the years I know him about politics. You know what he said to me? He's an old sea captain. He said, boy, that Romney sure stepped in it with his 47% remark. We're in the middle of the bay. The bay was choppy. And I turned to him and I said, you know, John, I said, I guess it offends a guy like you who's a veteran living on a small pension, a military pension. All he did was nod. I mean, that was a bad move. Because what Romney was implying was even guys like him are somehow not going to vote for him. What he didn't know was that a lot of people collecting Social Security don't like communism. Believe me. And they don't like anti-Americanism, and they don't like haters. They don't like people who are steaming us up against each other. But more than that, they don't like the weakness and the deviousness of these two, by the way. Anyway, whatever. Whatever. I never use that phrase. I think I'm still getting over the ride to and fro the city. Chinese food was so good. Oh, God. Once every week, I have to get that cheap food. I don't know what it is. You know that there's such a thing as comfort food and you have to have it? You got to violate your diet every once in a while and eat what you love. I don't mean every meal. I learned that a long time ago. You know, you're a human being. Food carries more than mere nutrients. You can't sit there with a calculator how much grams of fat and sugar. And you got to eat. You got to enjoy. Don't you realize your body responds to feeling good to something you're eating? I don't mean eat garbage. The Chinese food was actually quite good, incidentally. They make it for me, no sugar, no, they know, no extra goo. But the lips stick anyway for about 2 days. I tend to think that maybe that's good, the lips sticking together. It must bind the toxins from American food. I was so sick last week, you know, that I should thank God for even being, I didn't think I'd get through the week. I got so sick. Like a Saturday go a week, I went through a 5-day period. I was going to go to the hospital at 4 in the morning. I called doctor friends. I used every known remedy, and I used everything I could, and I got better. I tell you the truth, it was shocking, but it was a digestive, you know. It was not like, don't. It wasn't a Joe Biden. It wasn't in that department. It was not in the realm of the Joe Biden. Isn't that stupid talking about Joe Biden's manhood like that, his wife? Isn't that silly? I mean, that's still funny. I think that's kind of demeaning, frankly. What's so funny about a man's, you know what? Why is that a humorous thing, what she did, Jill Biden? Every other joke about the size, you know what I'm saying? Big deal. Big deal. What is this? That was demeaning. If I were a woman and someone was talking about his wife's breasts, let's turn it around. I'm a woman. And a vice president is boasting about his wife's breasts, how big they are in every statement, every innuendo, every speech. Oh, she really has big bazookas, you know that? Ha, ha, ha. You know, those Marines were out there. They had a bazooka. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, yeah, every other line. I would say, hey, cut it out. You're disgusting, Mr. Vice President. So look how low these people are. You got Michelle Obama disgustingly talking about the Underground Railroad slavery like she's Miss Poor and Miss Downtrodden. And then you got Jill Biden talking about her husband's you-know-what. You know, they have really trashed America and trashed the dignity of this country. I swear to God. They have brought us into the gutter. That's all. Houston, Texas. Shelley, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say Michelle was speaking to her audience or an audience, and I don't think she was speaking for I don't think she would have said those comments had she been addressing America at large. And I'm quite certain that if we, and I'm sure we will, if we have a Jewish first lady, she will definitely at some point speak to the Anti-Defamation League or other organizations. You cannot, I mean, just bringing up the fact of slavery, what she said is actually true. My great-grandmother was Jewish, and even though she died when I was a teenager, I definitely remember her speaking of the Holocaust and the relatives that she lost.
Yes, but hold on. But, you know, but for modern Jews to continuously harp on the Holocaust is a little embarrassing, too, by the way.
Well, but, you know, racism and...
Let me explain something to you. The Jewish people should not be defined by an aberration in their 5,000-year history. It demeans the whole meaning of the Jewish individual and the meaning of Judaism. Do you know that?
I see that point.
And let me go to the next step. Are you telling me that the history of African people is defined by slavery 200 years ago in the United States in the United States of America? That's the whole definition of African culture? I would disagree with you. I would think someone as educated as Michelle, who never worked a day in her life, so far as I know, who had the skids greased for her, ought to be thankful that she was born in America instead of hateful that she was born in America. I disagree with you. And by the way, you say she's talking to her base. You mean her base is the Congressional Black Caucus?
But you wouldn't
think that becoming first lady would trump that and bring her above race baiting?
I don't consider it race baiting. Like I said, I think that everyone panders to whomever they can during an election cycle.
Well, why is Romney? Wait a minute. Why is Romney not pandering to his base?
We don't know what he's doing. I mean, he's.
What do you mean? We don't know what he's doing. We do know what he's doing. He won't even talk to his base.
Are you speaking of the Mormons or?
No, I'm talking about conservatives. He will not go on a conservative radio or television show.
Right. Okay.
And He will not refer one interview. He will not defer to one interview on a conservative show. He's not talking to his base, to his discredit, incidentally.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now, how do you feel about Michelle Obama saying, play clip 8 for Shelley. Play clip 8.
The path forward for this next generation is far less clear. I mean, what exactly do we do about children who are languishing in crumbling schools?
Again.
What about the 40% of black children who are overweight or obese, or the nearly 1 in 2 who are on track to develop diabetes in their lifetimes? What court case do we bring on their behalf?
What laws can
be passed to end those wrongs?
How do you feel about that? First Lady of America talking about suing because children are going to get, because they're fat?
Well, I think it's inappropriate and I think it's ridiculous.
Thanks for agreeing with me. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I think I made my point today. I don't think anyone else in the media has found Michelle Obama's speech referencing slavery, Underground Railroad, fighting this, and we fought for what is she kidding? I'm going to play clip 7 again because I won't play it again. This is how low they have gone. But wait, before we play it, I have to take my hat off to Michelle and Barack Obama. They keep going back to their radical base over and over. They keep dipping into it, agitating them, throwing them the red meat. Romney won't even talk to his base, to his foolish discredit. Clip 7, please.
Now, back when our great-grandparents were riding that Underground Railroad, back when John Lewis was marching across that bridge in
Selma,
and Jim Clyburn was sitting in an Orangeburg jail, the injustices we faced were written in big, bold letters on the face of our laws. And while we may have had our differences over strategy, the battles we needed to fight were very clear. We knew that to end slavery, we needed a proclamation from our president. Amendment to our Constitution.
Constitution.
To end segregation, we needed the Supreme Court to overturn the lie of separate but equal. To reach the ballot box, we needed Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act.
And what's her point? She benefited from all of that. So what is she complaining about? She ought to thank America instead of spanking America. Why does Michelle Obama continue to have such a disrespect for this nation? Why does she hate it so much when she's had so much given to her? Well, that's the question that only a psychologist who has studied the mindset of the individuals like that can answer. It's unbelievable to me that she would do this at this time and not believe that the people would not see her for what she is. I'm appalled. They're disgusting. There's no words for it. We got a winner. Only one person has it right. I have to take this call. Montana, Linda, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Okay. My guess is either Blue Canyon.
Wait, hold on. We got to set this up. Linda's responding to my challenge on michaelsavage.com. Did you go to my website today?
Yes.
Top left, my book launched today, Train Tracks. There's a picture of me, arms crossed, cowboy hat, standing next to train tracks with snowy mountains. And I asked anyone who could say where it is gets a free book. Where is it?
Blue Canyon or Soda Springs?
It is Soda Springs, California.
Oh, I grew up, my dad worked for the railroad, my grandfather worked for the railroad. I spent the first 4 years of my life in Blue Canyon.
Isn't that amazing, Linda? And
that's
so beautiful. That is so beautiful that you could pick it up. How could you know where that was? It's only a snapshot.
I spent a summer with my dad in Soda Springs. And it just came right to me as soon as I saw it. I said, that's Soda Springs.
You know, every time I would drive up there to the High Sierra with my kids when they were young, and we'd go up Highway 80, and you'd leave a warm, Mediterranean climate down here, and then you'd start climbing the mountains, and you'd go into different zones, and you'd see different trees, right? And then you get to the 2,000-foot level, 3,000-foot. That's the thing I always loved about California, was all of the different climactic zones that we have here. How you could leave a almost subtropical Bay Area sometimes and head up into the Arctic. And time we got off Highway 80 at Soda Springs, it was one of the most exciting moments of my life. I have so many great memories making a right turn there. And those tracks, see them going like off into infinity with the mountains beyond. You know what lake is right over that bluff?
Well,
that's the Tahoe Basin. Donner Lake is right past that bluff. Train Tracks, Tradition, American Stories, on Amazon now. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. got to listen to some of the audio that we've collected for you today on the Savage Nation. Louis Gohmert, smart man, says Obama has created a new Ottoman Empire. Boy, wow, we finally have someone who knows what they're talking about.
Thank you, President Barack Hussein Obama. This will be quite a legacy for you. And I'm not one of those who says he's not a Christian. All I know is that's between him and God. But what I do know is he has helped jumpstart a new Ottoman Empire and left our friend and ally Israel so vulnerable in this sea of radicalism that he has helped bring to the surface. You don't win respect nor love from a bully by giving him your lunch money or begging him to be nice to you. Not only do they not love you, not respect you, they gain even more contempt for you. And that's what we're seeing happen. This president's trying to buy affection from people who are bullies, who are radical Islamists that want to destroy us. You're not going to get love and affection. You get contempt. And it helps them get other people to join in the fight against us.
Here is Michelle Obama dipping back into the racism book at the Congressional Black Caucus. Shame on you, Michelle. Shame on you. You set the country back 100 years.
The path forward for this next generation is far less clear. I mean, what exactly do we do about children who are languishing in crumbling schools? What about the 40% of black children who are overweight or obese, or the nearly 1 in 2 who are on track to develop diabetes in their lifetimes? What court case do we bring on their behalf? What laws can be passed to end those wrongs? So we cannot let anyone discourage us from casting our ballots. We cannot let anyone make us feel unwelcome in the voting booth. It is up to us to make sure that in every election, every voice is heard and every vote is counted. As we mark the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, I want you to remember that the house they were standing in, the house my family has the privilege of living in, that house was built in part by slaves.
Listen to the Occupy protesters talking about the killing of our ambassador in Libya.
I give respect to those people in Libya that shot that diplomat, because at least somebody, there's not, murder isn't the way to go, but Libya has just stood up and said, we're not going to take these drones in our country anymore, attacking our kids.
My only response is, who cares? He's one man. We killed over almost 2 million people in the past 10 years. He's just one guy. One guy with status. I don't care about him.
Why do you think the attacks against the American embassies went on?
Because the Americans planned it. That's what they do. They stir up trouble. They do it in their own country and they do it in others. I'm done.
Hillary thinks the rich around the world don't pay enough taxes. Does that include herself?
One of the issues that I have been preaching about around the world is collecting taxes in an equitable manner, especially from the elites in every country. You know, I'm out of American politics, but it is a fact that around the world, the elites of every country are making money. There are rich people everywhere, and yet they do not contribute to the growth of their own countries. They don't invest in public schools, in public hospitals, in other kinds of development internally. And so it means for leaders telling powerful people things they don't want to hear.
Well, Bill Clinton says what?
I think that the president's winning and winning in the swing states. I think that the Republican super PACs and the Romney campaign combined will outspend the Democrats probably 2.5, 3 to 1 from here on in. And I think that this is the only time I can remember when a lot of the national polls are closer than the polls in the so-called swing states. That's because the Obama campaign doesn't have as much money, so they have to concentrate that in the swing states, and we're doing pretty well.
Who cares? Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Our president has chosen to go on to the Pew, P-H-E-W, P-H-E-W, the Pew over Netanyahu. Libya is burning, and he's on television. Unbelievable. Hitler has visited New York. Not a word from Obama. That's Hitler Ahmadinejad, who says the Jews must die. Amazing to me, isn't it? Polls, well, who cares what the polls say? Means nothing. And on it goes. He's downgraded our alliance with Israel. That's right, Obama says that Israel's concerns over a nuclear Iran is just noise, background noise. That's all it is. No, nothing, a bump in the road. You want to make an omelet? You know, you got to break a few eggs. And in this case, Israel's the egg that must be broken to Obama. But don't tell that to the synagogues of America. They'll probably get upset. Also on MichaelSavage.com, you must see Nancy Pelosi's family values on display at a bondage event in San Francisco. There's no words for it. She calls this healthy and family-oriented. Take a look at them whipping each other in the streets, the gutters of Nancy Pelosi's backyard. State Department does damage control as Libya threatens Hillary's legacy. What legacy? She doesn't have a leg to stand on, her legacy. Hitler welcomed back in New York in advance of his annual hate-spewing address to the UN. Ahmadinejad, there he is again. Chapter 4, for the slumlord's defense, Barack Obama ESQ. Big story, where's Mitt on this one? U.S. Army forces their soldiers to die to better serve a defective contractor. I can't even explain the story. You have to read it. It's on MichaelSavage.com, linked from the Washington Times. Senate votes down measure to cut aid to Pakistan. Business as usual. Henry Kissinger is saying in 5 years there will be no more Israel. Oh, well, Hank should know. Egypt lawmaker urges UN to criminalize the contempt of Islam. There's so many great stories on my site today. Bloomberg bans soda while rapes are on the rise in New York City. Terrorist Professor Ayers and Obama's federal school curriculum. The Long March. Obama went to bed after learning of Libya attacks. Let's go to the bottom of MichaelSavage.com. Too fat for murder. Take a look at a 1,000-pound woman in London. I'm not making it up. World War II submarine veterans forced to disband their own group. There's not enough of them left. And I am proud to tell you, in only a few weeks, Train Tracks, Family Stories for the Holidays. That's my book being released in a few weeks. You won't believe it. It's really great. It's time when families gather and reflect on the past year to remember losses, to toast triumphs, to look forward to new beginnings. In the spirit of the season, beloved author and radio host Michael Savage's Train Tracks reminds us how every member of our family, anyway, they're my stories. You'll never believe them because you never heard them. They're incredible. You can buy them right now. You can buy Train Tracks right now on Amazon.com. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
So here we are. We're living in a partisan division. I don't know how many people haven't made up their mind yet who they're going to vote for, truthfully. I don't know how many people haven't made up their mind in this country yet. Have you made up your mind who you're going to vote for? Is there anyone out there listening to this show, for example? I don't know. Let's interesting. Is there anyone out there, Doug, who's not made up their mind? What are you waiting to hear? Let's see. The Middle East blew up. China and Japan are about to go to war. Israel and Iran are about to go to war. The country is bankrupt, but you can't make up your mind to take a chance on a man who might do better? You're still waiting to see what Obama might do? What rabbit can he pull out of his hat now? Well, whatever. Let's go to the callers. Let's see what they have to say. Let's see what they have to say. Got good callers out there. New York, John, W-O-R. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. You're my hero, Mike. God bless you. Mike, Israel is committing national suicide by not attacking Iran as soon as possible. That's my personal feeling. There's a small window.
Absolutely. Every day they wait is a day less for their survival.
Yeah, you're so right, Mike. And Iran...
What are they waiting for? You know, I woke up the other night in the middle of the night in a sweat, and I said, we could wake up and look at the internet and see Tel Aviv no longer exists. You want to hear what I intuitively felt the other day? You're not going to like to hear this because this is only one man's paranoid nightmare. You want to hear it? Iran is going to preemptively attack Israel. Anyone out there hear what I just said? John, you still there? Let me explain what I just said to you. For 2 years, I've been hearing about Israel threatening to attack Iran. Oh, if they make one more centrifuge, you wait and see. You know, it's like the guy in the street who says he's getting pushed around. And he's saying, you push me one more time, and then you're going to see what I'm going to do. So Iran pushes Israel again, calls him a little Jew, calls them derogatory names, says I'm going to kill you and your wife and children, pushes Israel around. Israel, you push me one more time, you see what I'm going to do. Right now, Israel is a coward laying in the gutter, terrified, waiting for someone to come along and save it. It's frightening to see this, and I'm going to tell you something. One thing I know about bullies, and Iran is a bully, Iran is just liable to smote Israel before Israel strikes them. And that would be a disaster, but it could happen. Iran could preemptively strike Israel with 5,000 rockets, non-nuclear rockets, and decimate that nation with Israel doing nothing but running to King Obama and saying, may we hit them back. You want to take that on as a question? What do you think is the likelihood that Iran will strike Israel first? How's that? Did anyone ever raise that in the media? We're all sitting here, any day Israel's going to strike Iran. Any day evil Israel's going to strike Iran. Any day macho right-wing Netanyahu is going to strike peace-loving Ahmadinejad. That's all you see from the media. Well, what if Iran said, you know what? We're not going to wait for them to strike us. We're going to launch 5,000 intermediate rockets on them, which we got from our friends in China. And we're going to launch them before they even know it hit them. Tell me what you think might happen. You can't even think about it. You can't even comprehend what that would do to the world. You can't. No one has the answer to any of it, truthfully. But let's look at the nightmare scenario. For years now, Israel's been saying, oh, another centrifuge, we're going to strike Iran. They're only days away, months away, years away. No one can keep up with it anymore. It's like the boy who cried wolf about Iran. And everyone's saying, you know what, do it already. Either strike Iran or shut up, stop telling us. Stop dragging us into a war. We don't want to go to war with Iran. By the way, let me tell you another little secret. America is war weary. We lost Iraq. We're losing Afghanistan. It was all for nothing. Trillions of dollars. It bankrupted the country like it bankrupted the Soviet Union. Afghanistan broke the Soviet Union. It's breaking America. We don't want another war. Israel's going to be on its own. But I came up with a nightmare scenario the other night, and it got me sick. What if Iran were to preemptively strike Israel, I thought? What if they launched 5,000 intermediary rockets at Israel? What would Israel's response be? Do you think Israel would, at that point, launch a nuclear weapon at Iran? The answer is no. Never. Never. And so you can play it out any way you want. I mean, I'm not in the war games business, but I am a novelist on the side, as you may know. And it's a scenario that's nightmarish, but truthfully, if Iran did so, and they're liable to do it, seeing that Israel's so weak and America stabbed it in the back, who does Israel have as an ally right now? Nobody. So is Israel capable of defending itself? I don't know. I'm not a military expert. Apparently, they need long-range refueling planes, which they don't have. The U.S. would have to supply it. And now we see that we have carrier groups in the Arabian Sea, or in the Strait of Hormuz, wherever they may be, including a carrier I was on a few years ago. I forget the name of it. It was a Nimitz-class carrier. It's astounding. So we have two carrier groups in the Arabian Sea. Each carrier has more airplanes on it than the entire Iranian Air Force. Think about that one. So let's say there's 100 airplanes, 100 fighter jets on it. I don't know how many there are. It's more than the entire Iranian Air Force is on any one of our aircraft carriers. You say, well, okay, then Iran will be afraid. Don't be so sure. There's another nightmare scenario called the silkworm missile. The most advanced silkworm missile could probably sink one of our ships. You say, can't happen? You could wake up to seeing the equivalent of our dreadnoughts going to the bottom of the sea. That could happen as well. You know, history has a strange way of repeating itself. And although my expertise is not in history, I'm an amateur student of history. Remember the Russian fleet? You may not know this. The Russians had the largest navy in the world. I think it was pre-World War I. They were called dreadnoughts. The largest battleships in the world were Russian battleships. And they went to war with Japan, who they thought they could wipe off the map and wipe up Japan quickly. The Japanese, using maneuvers that the Russians weren't prepared for, sank many of the Russian battleships. It was one of the greatest turnabouts in naval warfare. And I'm reminded of that battle because I'm frightened that we have become the Russian battleships of the 1910 period, in that we seem to have a top-heavy navy, We have a command structure that's always looking over its shoulder, a command structure that's interested in making certain that it's complying with employment regulations rather than actual military regulations, a command structure interested in making certain that minorities and women are advanced, whether or not they're qualified. Yeah, I can go down the list. I don't have to spell it out for you. So I'm prepared for any nightmare. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked to see Iran does a preemptive strike against Israel. I wouldn't be shocked if I woke up tomorrow morning and I saw that we lost, I don't know, a couple of frigates, a destroyer, a billion-dollar destroyer, God forbid, an aircraft carrier. It could happen. It could happen when you have men at the top afraid of their own shadow. I'm almost apoplectic. I can hardly speak when I start talking about our military under this administration. But it didn't start with him. The timidity didn't start with Obama. You know that I read the other day that the United States Air Force Academy has replaced men as the commander of the U.S. Air Force Academy. The training program was turned over to a woman because of complaints about sexual harassment. Did you hear what I just said to you? Now, it's not to say there aren't good women pilots. Are you telling me that it's rational to make the top gun in military pilot training a woman for political reasons? Do you have any idea what this is? This is under Obama. The world is upside down. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, nothing makes sense.
Savage.
Chinese general says get ready for combat with Japan. Homeland Security bought 200 million more rounds of hollow point ammunition. The Middle East is on fire. And the marionettes in the media are talking about something Romney said about the 47% 3 months ago. It's shocking to believe that we have lost our media. And that's why I say it's very depressing. I mean, I know people who are very, very productive, very creative. They've built businesses in their life. They're all running, and they're all running, not scared, but depressed. Every one of them is depressed from what this clown Obama has done to this country. This clown Obama, this college teacher, foisted upon us by a complicit media and a trillion dollars from unknown sources, has wrecked the country, wrecked the nation, wrecked us militarily, economically, morally, spiritually, you name it. And they still put him up on a pedestal like he's God. This shows you that liberalism is truly a mental disorder. It's an old phrase from the 50s or 60s. She's a knee-jerk liberal. What do you mean by a knee-jerk liberal? Knee-jerk liberal. It is sort of Pavlovian. It's a Pavlovian thing. And so, therefore, he can do no wrong. That's a very dangerous place to place a leader in that position. Surely every man is fallible, even Obama. Would you not acknowledge, even if you're a worshiper of Obama, that every man is fallible, that no man is perfect? Would you acknowledge that, please? And so therefore, if every man is fallible and no man is perfect, would you acknowledge for a moment that even your God, Obama, could be imperfect and he could make mistakes? And so if you acknowledge for a moment that he could make mistakes and he's not perfect, is it possible that his Middle East policy was a mistake in catering, pandering, sucking up to the Islamists that blew up in his face? Is that not, for you, evidence that the man is possibly wrong on other issues as well? No. The answer is no. He can do no wrong. And if you actually don't believe that the Arab Spring blew up in his face and became what I predicted it would be, the Arab Winter, if you don't actually see that, then you should... You by nature are no different than the worshippers in North Korea of Kim Jong-il, dear leader. And if you want to live in a communist society, you're well on the way to doing so. So let's move on. I mean, what more can I say to you? Everybody I know who's created anything in this country, and I don't know a lot of people I actually talk to on a day-to-day basis. I'm basically a loner. I've told you that. I don't socialize. It's me and a dog, and I'm with the dog only when I want to socialize. Other than that, it's very difficult. I just sit here watching the world go around. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I don't care, D or R. You got to understand something. If we had a Democrat who loved America, if we had a Democrat who loved America the way I grew up loving America, it wouldn't matter to me what party his affiliation was. So don't think it's DR for me. It's either America or someone who hates America. Never forget what Michelle Obama said after her husband was elected. For the first time in my life, I finally, or whatever, love America, or America's wonderful. Every advancement possible was given to her. She had an elitist upbringing. And Obama, you're saying he suffered? What do you think, he came from the hood? Do you think Obama suffered and came from the hood? Then you know nothing. He had grandparents who slaved for him. They put him through a private high school. I didn't go to a private high school. I went to Jamaica High School in Queens because we didn't have the money to send me to a private school, and my father wouldn't have sent me there anyway. He used to say to me that, I'm not sending you to a private school. It spoils kids. He was right. I don't know anyone who ever went to a private school who came out good. They all came out either drug addicted or twisted in some way or another. The ones I knew. It doesn't mean some didn't. But by and large, I went to a city college, and I was told right off the bat, you're going to have to do it on your own. I did it on my own. Nobody helped me. No, no man is an island. I'm going to say no one helped me. Of course, there's always people along the way. But nobody gave me the money. Obama had the skids greased for him, Punahou High School. Then he had money to go to Occidental College. Then he had money from somewhere no one knows where to go, to Columbia University. Then he had money to go to Harvard. No one to this day knows what he wrote to have warranted him getting into Harvard. Although when you look at Harvard, that's not a big advancement. You know, I have an article on my website about cheating at Harvard. Going back to the 1800s, they were reporting that cheating was kind of commonplace at Harvard. It was acceptable. Now you understand why anyone you ever know who went to Harvard is not that smart. Almost everybody who ever goes to Harvard actually walks around thinking they're better than everybody. They usually don't amount to anything. Truthfully, the people I know who achieved the most in my life did not only not go to Harvard, they went to city colleges and state universities if they went to college at all. Did you know that? So don't assume you have to go to Harvard to be something. Some go there and make something of their lives, but most don't. They come out with a sense of entitlement that the world owes them a living, and they often are very disappointed themselves. But I'm getting off the track. It's a very depressing time right now to see a man as incompetent as this man. Let's put aside the C word, that's communism. Let's put aside all of that rhetoric. He is the most incompetent president in modern American history. He is the most divisive president in modern American history. And the only reason he has 47 or 46% of the popular vote in polls is because this is largely the dependent class that is attached to him. Now, you could include in that class of people who vote for him those who work for government agencies. That's right. Are you telling me there's a federal worker in this country who would not vote for Obama? I'd like to meet that person. So every federal employee will vote for Obama. That doesn't mean they're on welfare. Who else? What is the actual data behind Romney's comments? It's not that they're particularly brilliant. I've used the same comments myself for about a year and a half now. They're making such a big deal for this. All he said is that 47% of Americans would almost automatically vote for President Obama because they were dependent on the government, in part because they received government benefits and paid no federal income taxes. That's pretty clear. Now, let's look at the actual data if you'd like to. Okay? How about government benefits? Well, according to the Census Bureau, 49% of Americans in the second quarter of 2011 lived in a household where at least one member received a government benefit. That could include Social Security. But that's up 30% from the 1980s and up 44% in the third quarter of 2008, by the way. What about food stamps? Do you know how many people are now on food stamps? Do you know that this administration has an office in Mexico encouraging people to apply for food stamps? It's very important for you to understand that. The country cannot survive when you have tax breaks for General Electric and the eight other corporations that I spell out in trickle-down tyranny. There are 8 to 9 corporations that pay no U.S. income taxes at all owing to tax loopholes. So if you want fairness, start with General Electric and work your way around those corporations. Half of U.S. households pay no federal income tax. They are exempted because of basic provisions such as limitations on tax for low-income earners. Okay. The other half benefit from targeted breaks such as assistance for the working poor, children in moderate-income families. Even seniors may benefit from some of these targeted breaks. So there are many tax breaks. There are all sorts of tax breaks. Now, what about you if you own a family business or a family farm and you have children who are struggling and you want to leave that business or that family farm to one of your children because it's yours to give them? You worked for it your entire life, right? Do you know what this criminal government takes from you? Let's say you worked your whole life for your farm and you want to give it to your son who wants to continue in the tradition of your family. Do you realize that he may not even be able to pay the taxes because the gangsters and the government steal half the money? They make, let's say the farm is worth $1 million and you give your son that farm, that $1 million farm. The gangsters and the federal government want $500,000 cash to permit you to give your son the farm that you worked for all your life. Now, how in the world can a country survive that has such onerous taxes? It can't. That's why it's broken apart. And so there are many things that could be done. You can start by forcing illegal aliens to pay for their medical care at the point of using it in emergency rooms. Does that strike you as odd? Let Romney say that tomorrow, see what happens. Ooh, fascist Romney says Hispanics must pay for health care in hospitals. And? Duh. Okay, no good. What else can't he say? What can he say? Get up in the morning and have indigestion and burp, and a slight amount of air comes out of his mouth, and the vermin in the media run out and say, Romney burped this morning, and we know that that burp was racist. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
What can I say in this hour that I haven't said in the first hour? It's a very depressing landscape out there. When you have the most incompetent foreign policy by a modern American president that has obviously gone up in smoke, and instead of criticizing him and trying to goad him into pulling himself together and doing the right thing with regard to America's national and international interests, the media, the watchdog media that has become the lapdog media, instead focuses on a statement that Romney made a few months ago. It's unbelievable to me. Do you know, for example, do you know that the Al-Qaeda-led Salafi Bedouin bands just this week attacked three Egyptian bases along a 70-kilometer front 3 days after they overran the U.S.-led multinational force base in northern Sinai? Do you know that they used local school children as human shields? And do you know that they shot down an Egyptian helicopter? So, in other words, the evil Egyptian military that Obama hates so much, the evil Egyptian military that the American left so feared under Mubarak, is about to be overrun by the Islamists put into power by Obama. And Washington, what is it doing? Head in the sand, lying? The worst foreign policy disaster in American history, and you're not reading about it in your local newspaper. So you say, well, what does it matter to me? All that matters to me is that I have a chicken in every pot. What does a chicken in every pot mean? A chicken in every pot means food stamps, welfare, grotesque Medicare benefits, grotesque Social Security benefits, grotesque vacations at gambling casinos, grotesque and vulgar vacations on cruise ships to nowhere so you can gamble and gain 25 pounds paid for by the government with various and sundry benefits. That's what you want? That's what you worked for your whole life? I have no words for any of this. I can't say any more than I've already said. I've talked about it till there's nothing left to say. I've written about it till there's nothing left to write. And it goes on. It goes on. And Romney, what do we have on our side? Romney, a moderate Republican, a Rockefeller Republican, a country club Republican, a check pants Republican. And even that's too conservative for the communists in the media, because there's no other way to describe them. They're in a fervor, almost a fever pitch, rather, of insanity with what they want for this nation. Do they actually want you to give up your house to illegal aliens? What is it that the radical left really wants? Well, you don't have to look any farther than what they've stated that what they want. in the position papers of the so-called Occupy movement. The Occupy movement is basically a band of malcontents, discontents, unemployables. In other words, the riffraff, the flotsam and jetsam of society that is jealous of anything that anyone has in the country. They want you to give it to them. And they want the government to reappropriate from those of us who work for it and give it to them. How you can't see this is beyond me. But then again, how you can't see what's going on right in front of your eyes is not beyond me. So let's go to my shocking statement of the last hour. I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, and I had a nightmare that with Israel's posturing and screaming for 3 years, they're about to strike Iran. Any minute they're going to hit Iran. Any second we need the permission. There'll be a strike and this and hey, go Israel, go. And so far, nothing. So I said, you know, Ahmadinejad being the Hitler of our time and saying he wants to wipe the Jews off the planet starting with Israel, what is to prevent Ahmadinejad from doing what Hitler did and attacking Israel first? What is to stop Ahmadinejad from launching 5,000 intermediary range rockets on Israel, raining them down like hellfire and brimstone from the sky itself upon Israel? And what would Israel do? Tell me what Israel would do if 5,000 rockets appeared overhead. Nothing. They'd run to the UN and ask for an agreement? I don't understand what's going on in this world if Israel, which is allegedly a nuclear power, sits there waiting to lose a city or two. And Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, is scheduled to start his week-long visit to New York. This would be the equivalent of Adolf Hitler coming to New York in 1939. Why he is not arrested on arrival, I will never understand. The man has said he wants to commit genocide. There are laws in the so-called United Nations against genocide. And here we have a man, Ahmadinejad, who has said repeatedly he intends to commit genocide. He dreams of committing genocide. He will commit genocide the minute he has an opportunity to do so. This is what's going on in your world. Why? Because we have the most divisive, weakest president in American history. That's all. Nothing more to be said. Anyone who knows the world knows that these words are true. Now, with regard to the domestic election, who listening to this show hasn't made up his mind yet? Nobody. Everyone knows who they're voting for. If you're receiving government benefits one way or the other, or you're a pensioner, you're voting for the communist in chief because you have a higher chance of holding on to your pension or your benefits under the communist dictatorship that is emerging in America than you would under a moderate, business-oriented Republican. In plain English, that's all. And anyone who has a business, anyone who pays too much in taxes, which is everyone as far as I'm concerned, who earns a real living in this country. Anyone making more than $50,000 a year who pays real taxes is paying too much in taxes, and they know it. They look at their paycheck. Look at the young kids. They come out of college, and they're all communists in college. Yeah, bring it all down, appropriate. Then they go out and they get a job for whatever the first salary is, $35,000 a year if they're lucky, and they look at their paycheck and they're shocked at how many tabs, FICA, Schmica, DICA, HICA, LICA, the taxes they can't believe they actually have to pay. And they say it's unfair. The minute that the college kid has to pay a tax, suddenly it's like he's shocked. She's shocked. She can't believe it. One less pair of Manolo shoes at the end of the year, and that's too much for her. She can't believe that she has to pay that much in taxes. Well it's unfair. Say, well, what do you mean it's unfair? You're making a living now. Well, let the rich pay for it. What? You're one of the rich, honey. You just got a job paying $35,000 a year. According to Obama, you're one of the rich. Anyone who actually works for a living and doesn't receive a food stamp is now part of the targeted class by the Obama administration. All right, so look, I've covered the waterfront. I can talk about movies if you'd like. Let's take your calls instead. Ed in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
It's a privilege to speak with you, Michael. My feelings very simply are Israel shouldn't wait 5 minutes, 5 days, or 5 weeks. They should attack now. The world doesn't care about Israel. Israel's a speck on the planet Earth. There shouldn't be any reason for them not to.
Let's start with this. Let's start with this. You know that no matter what Israel does, they're wrong. Just as whatever Romney says, he's wrong. You understand that, don't you? That if Israel went up in smoke, God forbid, that Iran struck it and every Jew died, you know what the UN would say? Well, it's a terrible thing, but they had it coming because they were so bellicose.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Maybe the United States should wake up because, God forbid, that could happen here any day. And we'll all wake up to something. And then
well, that's right. Hillary Clinton and the leftists in the Obama administration have flooded America with illegal aliens, many of whom hate the country, including many from the Middle East who are waiting for their time to strike. There's no question there are sleeper cells. Your own government tells us that. Your own government tells you Hezbollah exists here in America. The geniuses let them in. So if they know where they are, why don't they throw them out? In other words, the CIA and the FBI know that Hezbollah is here. Why don't they attack them now? Why don't they round them up, detain them, and deport them? See, that's the question of the day. They keep telling us that they have sleeper cells here. Well, where are they? What do you mean? I'm supposed to know? They must know where they are if they tell us they're here. What's their $1 trillion budget for in Department of Homeland Security? To look at people who don't like abortion?